जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोरानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुन तीरवन चारी यमुन तीरवन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंदना यशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंदना यमुन तीरवन चारी यमुन तीरवन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो विष्णुपाद परमहंस वरिवराज काचार्य स्तोत्रस्तु श्री श्रीमद् His Divine Grace, Lesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai, Grantaraj, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, All grace to the assembled devotees, All grace to the assembled devotees, All grace to the assembled devotees, All grace to Sri Sri Guru Gaurango. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 22 The Process of Devotional Service. Today we're reading two verses. Originally one was written, but I said, wait a minute, this one is introducing the next one. So we're doing two verses. First one is Bengali, second one is from the Bhagavatam, Sanskrit. I'll just read the first one here. Vigya janer hoy yadi Krishna guna jnan anyatyaji bhaji tate uddhava praman. Whenever an experienced person develops real knowledge of Krishna and his transcendental qualities, he naturally gives up all other engagements and renders service to the Lord. Uddhava gives evidence concerning this. So this verse is a quite famous verse, the next text 98, spoken by Uddhava. The word meanings, Aho, how wonderful! Bhakti Putana, the sister of Bakasura, Yam Hum Stana on the two breasts, Kalakutam, the deadly poison, Jighang Saya, with a desire to kill, Apayayat, forced to drink, Api, although, Asadvi, dangerously inimical to Krishna. Labhe, achieved. Gatim, the destination. Dhatri, for a nurse. Uchitam, suitable. Tataha, ban him. Anyam, other. Come, to whom. Va, or. Dayalum, the most merciful. Sharanam, shelter. Vrajema, shall take. Aho bhakiyang stana kalakutam Jighang saya payayad apyasadvi Le bhegatim datru chitam tatonyam Kamba dayalum sharanam brajema Aho bhakiyang stana kalakutam Jighang saya payayad apyasadvi Le bhegatim dhatru chitam tatonyam Kamba dayalum sharanam brajema Bhakiyang stanakalakutam Jighang saya payayad apyasadvi Le bhegatim dhat yuchitam tatonyam Kambhadayalum sharanam dhajema Oh, bhakiyam sanakalakutam Jighang saya payayad apyasadvi Le bhegatim dhat yuchitam tatonyam Kamba dayalam sharanam brajema Okay, translation. Oh, how wonderful it is. Putana, the sister of Bakasura, wanted to kill Krishna by smearing deadly poison on her breasts and having Krishna take it. Nonetheless, Lord Krishna accepted her as his mother. And thus she attained the destination befitting Krishna's mother. Of whom should I take shelter but Krishna, who is most merciful? Purport, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.23. So I'm going to read the purport to that verse from the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada hasn't given one here. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord, even to his enemy. It is said that a noble man accepts the good qualities of a person of doubtful character, just as one accepts nectar from a stock of poison. In his babyhood, he was administered deadly poison by Putana, a she-demon who tried to kill the wonderful baby. And because she was a demon, it was impossible for her to know that the Supreme Lord, even though playing the part of a baby, was no one less than the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. His value as the Supreme Lord did not diminish upon his becoming a baby to please his devotee, Yashoda. The Lord may assume the form of a baby or a shape other than that of a human being, but it doesn't make the slightest difference. He is always the same Supreme. A living creature, however powerful he may become by dint of severe penance, can never become equal to the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? Om jnanatimirantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militamena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Well, the first verse today, of course, Lord Chaitanya is speaking, giving instructions. Whenever an experienced person develops real knowledge of Krishna and his transcendental qualities, he naturally gives up all other engagements and renders service to the Lord. Uddhava gives evidence of this. So I say I'm always struggling to understand things, even though I read constantly. So this is another example. I can't really figure out how this verse illustrates this. In other words, the Sanskrit verse, Aho Bhakti Yang Sanakala Kutam, which is talking about how merciful, I guess that's the idea. It says, whenever an experienced person develops real knowledge of Krishna and his transcendental qualities, he naturally gives up all other engagements and renders service to the Lord. Uddhava gives evidence of this. So you'd think there would be evidence of somebody giving up all their other engagements and rendering service to the Lord because of getting real knowledge of Krishna and his qualities. But that's not exactly what's taking place here. But what we are seeing here is one of the great qualities of the Lord, of course, his mercy. In fact, we're attracted to Krishna because of his qualities. So many, we know there are 64 qualities listed in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, the chief of which, of course, is his beauty. And he has so many other wonderful qualities of his character. So mercy is certainly one of them. So that's what's being really illustrated here. This verse is spoken by Uddhava, this Aho Bhakti Yang Stanakala Kutam. Putana is called Bhakti because her brother is Bhakasura. Another brother is Aghasura. So this delightful family she's a member of. Oh, Bucky, oh, how wonderful. How wonderful it is that she came to kill Krishna. But then Krishna gave her, actually, Prabhupada translated here as mother, gave her, she attained the destination befitting Krishna's mother. We know there are different kinds of mothers, so one of those is the nurse, wet nurse kind of mother. Something I think that's probably out of style. It used to be part of more traditional cultures. That strikes me as kind of, it's really, it seems like a very, such an intimate thing to nurse a baby. And to do it to someone else's baby seems a little strange to me, but I suppose it still goes on some places today. So there, like Mother Yashoda, she has a nurse, Ambika. What's her name? Is it Ambika? Something like that. Is that right? So Putana got that. Actually, I was looking at different commentaries. There's a book with a bunch of different commentaries of our acharyas. One devotee, this student of Gopi Pranadan Prabhu, translated. So I was looking to see how they deal with this. So a lot of times I have a hard time understanding the commentaries too. But basically, they all say, yes, she actually did get the position of a nurse in the spiritual world. A nurse or a mother, because a nurse is a kind of mother. So when you hear this, you think, wow, that's like so amazing. Of course, that's the point. That's what Uddhava is saying here. This is so amazing. To become the mother of Krishna, you'd think, well, maybe she'd get, like a lot of times, this is mentioned actually in the Bhagavatam, that some of the demons that Krishna kills, some of them get impersonal liberation, and some of them get Vaikuntha. But to get, you have to get Goloka Vrindavan to nurse Krishna, because there's no nursing Vishnu. Right? At first, I remember I used to think like this. Oh, maybe this is Vaikuntha, because, I mean, Goloka Vrindavan, really? But you're not going to be nursing in Vaikuntha. Vishnu's all grown up. And they don't have any children either. Like Lakshmi Narayan, they don't have any children. So you couldn't be a nurse for their children either. So the only way you can do it is to Krishna, baby Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. What an amazing thing. And she was such a demon. It said, the acharyas point out in her commentary, she liked to drink blood. You know, that's what she would kill children and eat them. I mean, what worse thing can you imagine than that? That's why the idea, this is such an extreme example, that Krishna is so merciful. So this, of course, as I was saying, this is Uddhava speaking this. Now, Uddhava, he's such a dear devotee of the Lord. He, the context here is when Madhura was returning from his pilgrimage and he met Uddhava, and this was just after the destruction of the Yadu dynasty and Krishna's disappearance. So when they meet, of course, two great devotees, and Vidura asks a series of questions about the Yadu dynasty. He actually knows already that they're gone, they're finished, they killed each other. But out of Prabhupada said it was like a psychological questions he was asking, because it was like he almost couldn't believe it, couldn't handle it, couldn't deal with it. So he's still asking, well, Uddhava, how's this person, how's that person, so on. And then Uddhava, he leaves this world. It says there in the Bhagavatam, he left the mortal plane in his consciousness. And the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he went to Dwarka, eternal Dwarka, when he heard this question. So for a few moments at least, which may be a long time in spiritual time, he was basically gone as a response to Vidura's question. Then he returned, and it says there that he was smiling. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he's smiling because he really enjoyed what he had just done. He had just gone to Dwarka and seen Krishna, so he came back with a big smile on his face. So even though he was devastated, actually, Vidura was asking him all these questions. And the way Uddhava, he responded, his first response was, "The son of the world, Lord Krishna, has set, and our house has been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare?" So he's devastated by the idea that Krishna has left this world. Because Uddhava, he had so much personal association with Krishna. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you know how the basic story is, one devotee, Narada is looking in the first part, there's two parts, in the first part Narada is looking for the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy, which means the greatest devotee of Krishna. So he goes to different devotees, and one devotee sends him to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. So when he goes to Prahlad, of course glorifies Prahlad, his own disciple, Narada Muni's own disciple, but he's glorifying him as such a great devotee. And of course, Prahlad just talks bad about himself, and he sends him to Hanuman. He says, oh, he's much better devotee than I am. Then Hanuman, of course, you know, the same theme plays out one after the other. So Hanuman sends Narada to Pandavas first. He sends him to the Pandavas. So he glorifies the Pandavas when he gets there. And they say, no, we never see Krishna. He hardly ever comes here. He lives with the Yadus. They're the ones. They're really getting the mercy. You should go there. So he goes there. Of course, everywhere he goes, he's in ecstasy. And sometimes they have to say, calm down, Narada. So Narada's, so he speaks to the Pandavas. He goes to the Yadus, and he's speaking to them and glorifying them, how they're getting so much mercy. And the king of the Yadavas is Ugrasena. So Ugrasena, he's also, the one thing about the Yadavas, they have to say, a lot of times what the other devotees are saying, that no, that's not true. I'm not a good devotee, and I haven't gotten anybody's mercy, any Krishna's mercy. But the Yadus, they have to admit, yeah, you're right, we're getting Krishna's association. But, we're not really, because he's always leaving all the time, he's going places, and we get to see him sometimes, and of course we're all related to him. We're all his family members in one way or another, cousins or first cousins or second cousins or whatever. So he's part of our family. But really the person who gets the mercy is Uddhava. Because Uddhava's with him all the time. He eats with him, he sleeps with him, he does everything with him. Even goes to brothels with him. When Krishna went to see Kubja, Uddhava was there with him. So he knows the most intimate things about Krishna. He knows so many things. And so he's missing Krishna. Of course, he's also gone on great missions for Krishna. And the most noteworthy one is that he brought the message, Krishna's message, to the gopis. This was fairly shortly after, actually, I think it was after Krishna returned, after he went to Gurukul. But Krishna was in Gurukul for only like 6 months. So then he got back and he wanted to send a message to the gopis. So his most trusted advisor was Uddhava. Uddhava is such an interesting character, of course. It's said that his rasa is in servitude, but he also has, of course, a very, very friendly, intimate relationship with Krishna. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in one verse or commentary, it may be commentary, but Sanatana Goswami wrote his own commentary. There's some question, actually, of who, because we hear that he's Krishna's cousin. So there's some question of who he is. Basically, the Harivamsa says that his father was Devabhaga. And in the Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami also says that. Now, Jiva Goswami often quotes the Harivamsa. Now, Harivamsa, if you don't know it, it's like a follow-up after epilogue, you might say, of the Mahabharata. Harivamsa means that family of Hari, so Krishna's family. It's quite a long book, actually. It's not just sometimes it's described as appendix to the Mahabharata, but it's actually a whole long book. It's written by Vaishampayana. So he says, so Jiva Goswami seems to, give the Harivamsa credibility. Now we generally, the Mahabharata, or maybe even the Harivamsa, we would favor the Srimad Bhagavatam over if there's some discrepancy between the two. So I was listening to a lecture by Gopi Pranadan Prabhu, and he said there's some question, maybe Devabhaga wasn't really his father. And one reason for that is that in the genealogy in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Devabhaga is mentioned, and he's mentioned as having two sons, and Uddhava is not either one of them. So you would think, gee, if he was actually his son, it seems like it would come up there in the Bhagavatam. So that there's some question. So then, but also it's stated that, I think this is also in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami says that Uddhava is from some place in central India, which may be another reason why it's questioned. That information must be available somewhere. And because of where he was from, the people from that area are usually light-skinned. But because he had so much devotion to Krishna, he had a dark skin, right? He looked exactly like Krishna. So he stuck out there. So so he has so much devotion to Krishna. So when he's speaking these verses, actually this comes in the context of when Uddhava starts speaking, when he answers Vidura's questions. Basically the question, he could see, Uddhava or Vidura wants to hear about Krishna. So Uddhava, he summarizes Krishna's leelas. He gives one pastime after the other, first in Vrindavan and then in Mathura and Dwarka, especially Dwarka. So this comes, you know, in the context of that. One thing, I think one of the acharyas mentions this, is that Uddhava is trying to soothe himself, you might say, by going on this soliloquy, talking about Krishna, and Krishna did this, and Krishna did this, and Krishna did this. And it's all the wonderful things that Krishna did. It just summarizes the pastimes of Krishna. So then he says this amazing thing, how Krishna is so merciful. This is considered to be one of his great qualities. As Prabhupada points out, this purport is quite amazing, actually, this purport that we read from the... Actually, this is earlier in this canto, 3.2.23 is where this verse is from. So this is, you know, in the context of Uddhava reciting all of Krishna's mercy, even to the demons. And so Prabhupada points this out. Krishna accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. In fact, this example of mercy of Krishna is so astounding. Naturally, it makes me think, he gave so much mercy to this wicked demon. What about me? Why couldn't I didn't put poison on my breast? Or, you know, I didn't try to kill Krishna. But he did it just because he saw some motherly attitude. Actually, just some of the acharyas say she was just pretending to be like a mother. And still, he saw that. Oh, he saw that and he glorified, he amplified it. Of course, Krishna here is also acting as an example of how devotees should act. We're supposed to do that too. We're supposed to, you know, exemplify this principle. The flies look for sores and the bees look for honey. So devotees should always look for the good qualities in others, look for the good qualities of other devotees. We hear this mentioned sometimes as a quality of specific devotees. I believe it's Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, when he was in Vrindavan, he was reciting the Bhagavatam. That was his service. It said that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he would recite the Bhagavatam in three tunes. So people were relishing. The other Goswamis and other Vaishnavas would come and listen to him because he would recite the Bhagavatam so beautifully. So one of his other qualities was he never would listen to any kind of criticism of any devotee. He was looking only for their good qualities. So Krishna, of course, has all qualities to a superlative degree. I was thinking of this idea of, you know, how Krishna gives his mercy and how he decides to do it and why is he withholding. Of course, he told the gopis why he sometimes doesn't reciprocate immediately. The gopis asked him about different kinds of lovers. You may remember this. When Krishna returned after he had left during the rasa dance and he came back, and they were asking about different kinds of lovers and their reciprocation. And Krishna was saying that I don't necessarily immediately reciprocate because I want to intensify the devotee's feelings. Viraha, separation, the feeling of separation. Because intensity, tivrena bhakti yogena, right? The intensity of the feeling is what really captures Krishna. Now this example of Putana is given because it's so extraordinary. It's not, Krishna doesn't necessarily do such an extreme thing. Actually, the next verse, is that quoted here? The next verse in the Bhagavatam that comes after this one. Uddhava says, I consider the demons who are inimical to the Lord to be more than the devotees because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Tarksha, and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand. So Uddhava is also appreciating, even in general, how devotees, now of course, as I was saying, devotees are the demons, when they're killed by Krishna, they get some special mercy. So in any case, this idea of mercy, Krishna, how is Krishna's like separation from the gopis? One thing, when you read about the devotees, the highest devotees, all you hear about is how they're crying and suffering and over and over. It's like it makes me think how in the traditional Vedic culture, the Shudras, for example, weren't allowed to study the Vedas. Now, one reason for that is that if they mispronounce things, then bad things can happen. But they couldn't understand, really, also, the very deep philosophical points. So Krishna's mercy is difficult to understand, and the reaction of the devotees to that mercy is also difficult to understand. That Krishna's separation is his mercy on others, whereas when you see them, they're just crying all the time. The story of Srinivas Acharya, it's been a while since I read it, but in the book of Ratnakara, you hear how he's traveling and he's going here and there, and he goes to Navadweep and he wants to see this particular devotee, but when he gets there, the devotee has just passed away. So then, I think first he's in Puri and Gadadhar has passed away, then he goes to Bengal to see another, and that devotee has passed away. Every place he goes, the devotees have just left this world. So everywhere he goes, he's crying and crying and crying because he keeps missing out on these devotees. But of course, this is ecstasy. Somehow or other, this is ecstasy. We hear this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, so this is a good indication of it. What seems to be the most intense suffering is actually ecstasy for the devotees, that viraha. And the highest, of course, it's called Madanakya Mahabhava. This is in Ujjvala Nilamani, which I've never read the whole thing, but I was listening to some classes by Gaur Govinda Maharaj. So he uses this term a lot. He gave a series of classes on this from Ujjvala Nilamani. So this is the highest Srimati Radharani experiences. Basically, she wants to die, but she can't die because that will hurt Krishna. So she stays alive just so it doesn't hurt Krishna. Of course, interesting, there's another whole story. I read it before, Lalita Madhava. It's Vidugdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. So Vidugdha Madhava is mostly in Vrindavan. Lalita Madhava begins in Vrindavan, but then it goes into Dwarka. And what we hear is about how the gopis all became the queens in Dwarka and how they got there. So while the part of the story is they actually did commit suicide, drowned themselves in Yamuna, and then they went to the sun, because Yamuna is, of course, the daughter of the sun god. And Yamuna is is it Vishaka? Vishaka or Lalita, I forget. Is an expansion, the Yamuna, there's some, anyway. I don't know where Rupa Goswami got all his information for this book and this story, if it just was revealed to him in his heart or what, because a lot of it seems really different. Just like the idea that the boy that was, the son of his guru that was rescued from the sea, in the Vidugdha Madhava said that was Madhu Mangal. His friend Madhu Mangal. Now we do hear that Madhu Mangal is the son of Sandipani Muni. These amazing things that take place. My point I was making was that at least in these plays, Rupa Goswami presents that the gopis, they couldn't remain alive. Of course they did remain alive, they just took different forms. You could take it that way. It's not that they didn't actually, of course, didn't. Of course, they're eternal personalities. They can't kill themselves even if they want to. Which is the same for all of us. Actually, I go a little off topic here. I was thinking, this is something I've been thinking of recently, is the idea of Krishna's, in fact, this has come up, I've seen it in different discussions, the idea of Krishna's omnipotence and what are things that Krishna can't do, right? Are the things that Krishna can't do. Now, what related to that is, in a certain sense, things are just what they are. This is just the nature of reality. So it's not like Krishna was nothing and he decided, I'm going to be this blue cowherd boy or whatever. He was something else or somebody else. You can say everything happens by Krishna's will, but there's no time involved in it. We can't think of something happening without that it didn't happen, you know, before that. So why is Krishna the way he is? Well, he wanted to be, or he wants to be. But it wasn't that he wasn't something else before, that he was something else before. It just is. It's just the nature of reality. So then you wonder, well, in other words, it's inconceivable, right? Because you have to say, well, no, it's Krishna's will. Everything is Krishna's will, but still it existed eternally. Just like, you know, we also exist eternally, somehow or other. In fact, in this whole debate about the origin of the jiva, one of their different explanations, people argue in different ways. So one of them is, actually this is based on a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, Purusha and Prakriti both exist eternally, and they're all eternally connected. That means there's always a material world, and there are always jivas eternally in the material world. So then people say, wait a minute, that means we've been here forever? This is where we started from? But there's no start. This is another one of the things you can say, well, that's just the nature of reality. That's just the way it is. That's just the way things are. So anyway, I'm not going to argue one way or the other. You can argue yourself to death on these points. But it's a very interesting kind of thing that really everything about Krishna is inconceivable. In fact, everything in the material world is inconceivable too. Sometimes I think of just some simple thing, like I pour some water, and I think, isn't this interesting? You know, something solid seems kind of okay, but liquid? How does that work exactly? Of course, I don't really know how any of it works. The whole material world is Krishna's chintya shakti, actually. It all comes from Krishna. Ultimately, it's all Brahman, as Prabhupada would say. You know, it's transformation of the spiritual energy, Krishna's spiritual energy. Somehow or other, and what that is actually is, sometimes Prabhupada seems to present that it's made up of the jivas. It's like, whoa, that's really a shocking thing. But usually the Brahma Jyoti is just said to be the rays of Krishna's body. But I've also read by, I think it's Jiva Goswami in one place, he says, metaphorically, that's because Brahman and Paramatma and Bhagavan are one thing. So in one sense, it's not exactly, maybe, but because we can only think of things that way, right? We're bound up in this conditioned consciousness. In some sense, we don't really get it. We can't really understand things. In fact, there's an interesting purport in the 11th canto where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about, he says, when the devotee, at least the conditioned soul, is meditating and we have an image of Krishna, that's sort of, not exactly Krishna, you might say. Of course, any thought of Krishna, you might say, is Krishna. But he says, but Krishna takes it as himself. He gives you the benefit of the doubt. But unless you're actually transcendental, you yourself are transcendental, you don't have full a transcendental picture, you might say, of Krishna within your mind. He's appearing, you might say, in your mind in a material way, just like the deity. We're seeing the deity. Now, the deity, of course, is Satchidananda. But he doesn't, Krishna, Radha, Krishna, Gaur-Nitai, they don't look like Satchidananda, to me anyway. They look like they're made of wood and metal and things of this world. So what's going on in our minds are also, they're just more subtle. But they are Krishna. Krishna can manifest himself in that way. So the amazing thing is that Krishna can do anything he wants. As Prabhupada mentioned in his purport, he said, yes, he can. I was thinking of this verse. Prabhupada usually quotes this verse, or the Putana Lila. He usually uses it to point out that Krishna is always God, which Prabhupada, it also came out in his purport today. Now, he does make the point of Krishna's mercy, but there's this other side of it that even in the lap of his mother, he was just a little infant, he still has all the powers of God. He doesn't have to grow up and lift weights and whatever, practice some kind of yoga. In whatever body he manifests in, he's still Krishna. So similarly with all of Krishna's different avatars, there was some question recently on a conference I'm on, and do the avatars all have their own planets? It seems like some of them do, but whether they all do, I'm not sure. Because one thing is, this is described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that whatever form the Lord you want to worship, you can see Lord Vishnu that way. And even in devotees sometimes take on those forms. You know, you become a boar and you worship Lord Varaha and Vaikuntha. Devotees become plants. They do all kinds of things. When Gopa Kumara is explaining Vaikuntha, he says, I'm trying to say something about it, but I really can't. And an innumerable number of amazing things are happening in each moment, so what can I say? I can't. It's all inconceivable. So you think, well, what's the hope, right? Well, fortunately, it's not about jnana. It's about appreciation, really. It's about appreciating Krishna. Just like here, to appreciate Krishna's mercy, even though we may not understand it. In fact, we're supposed to, as devotees, tate nukam pam susumikshamano, we're supposed to always think everything is Krishna's mercy, whether I understand it or not. So it's a matter of attitude. We have to have this attitude. So when I see, well, Krishna did this to Putana, but he's not doing it to me, then I better change my attitude, right? I shouldn't think that way. What Krishna's doing for me is perfect. That's the way we're supposed to be thinking. Whatever happens, Krishna has unlimited intelligence, right? He's got I've just heard this phrase recently. We have AI, artificial intelligence. Now they're talking about ASI, artificial superintelligence. That the AI is getting smarter and smarter so fast that it's getting dangerous, actually. That the computers could take over. You can imagine, you know, computers start turning off our electricity or whatever they want to do, or driving our cars into the ditch or whatever. So anyway, so Krishna certainly has super intelligence, but it's not artificial, it's real super intelligence. So he knows what to do for us. So we have to take it that whatever's happening in my life, that's Krishna's arrangement somehow or other for my progress. So even though we don't get a climactic, you know, events in our life like Putana got, still things are happening for our benefit, and we just take it on this principle that this is Krishna's mercy. It's a very important thing, of course. I remember hearing, it's always stuck in my mind, that I've heard this a couple of times on morning walks, where devotees started asking a question that maybe was a little uncomplimentary toward Krishna and where the devotee was heading, and probably just cut him off. Said, don't ask that, and something more or less. He said he didn't want to hear anything that sounded critical of Krishna, even if it was just a theoretical question. That's a funny thing, too. Sometimes, you know, Prabhupada would like devotees to act like non-devotees and ask questions, and sometimes he would get upset with the questioner. The devotee was playing the role, and probably, what are you saying that, you nonsense? Anyway, that's Prabhupada's mercy too. Of course, that's another aspect of it, right? How the guru treats us is to be his mercy. All right, I think I've gone on long enough here. Let me just read this nice verse again. Aho bhakiyang dhanaka lakutam. You know, it's interesting here. Prabhupada translates aho is how wonderful, which to me seems right. I've always felt it didn't seem right in the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada translates it as alas, aho as alas. I think, alas? Why is this alas? What does alas have to do with this? You know what alas means? Oh, this is bad. So I can't, the only thing I could think was alas is that because it's just in the mood, Prabhupada was seeing the mood of Uddhava. He's in a mood of lamentation. And going back to this point of things don't always seem to be what they are, spiritually and materially the opposite. So alas may be just, alas, I'm missing Krishna. That's one way to look at it too. I'm missing Krishna, who's so merciful. That may be why Prabhupada translated it, alas, as aho as alas. But here he translates it as how wonderful. Aho bhakiyang stanakala kutam jigang saya payarapya sadvi lebed gatim dhati uchitam tatonyam kambadayalum sharanam brajema. Oh, how wonderful it is. Putana, the sister of Bakasura, wanted to kill Krishna by smearing deadly poison on her breasts and having Krishna take it. Nonetheless, Lord Krishna accepted her as his mother, and thus she attained the destination befitting Krishna's mother. Of whom should I take shelter but Krishna, who is most merciful? actually one of the points the acharyas make is that Krishna really got the Putana really got the mercy of Krishna's lotus feet because he was standing on her breast, holding himself up. He was putting his feet there while he was sucking her nipple and getting the poison. So she got the mercy of Krishna's lotus feet besides his lotus mouth. So anything? Krishna's difficult to understand, right? Prabhupada would always say, just try to understand. Just try to understand. So we read and read, and at least I do. I'm reading Brahma Samhita, and I say, boy, phew. It's really difficult to understand. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, we know Krishna has a plan for us, but until he reveals, we have to try to do things. And sometimes I have a feeling I have so much no idea what he wants to do that I'm just running like a chicken without a head because you try this, you try that, and all of a sudden he reveals and his plan is completely different.
Yeah. There's another side to this, actually. Sometimes I think, we may think there's some particular thing Krishna wants me to do. Just like people, they like to have the idea, maybe they have a destiny. I'm destined, you know, this is, like I was hearing, what's his name, Namamrita. He wanted to be a pilot his whole life. He said, when I was a little kid, I was jumping off the stairs with an umbrella kind of thing. He always wanted to fly. So he knew, you know, he was destined to be a pilot. So we may think there's some particular thing that Krishna wants me to do, but that may not be the case, actually. Krishna wants us to surrender. There may not be only one answer. In fact, the endeavor, the attitude, like you're saying, I'm trying to see what Krishna wants. I don't know. Even Prabhupada himself, he consulted with his god brothers when his business was falling apart and his family life was falling apart. And of course, he was told this is Krishna's mercy, taking everything away from you. So we do the best we can. We consult with others, but we pray to Krishna to help us. To mainly, please help me to do what pleases you. And of course, Prabhupada will always quote this, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. The sincere devotee, Krishna gives inspiration within the heart. Prabhupada would tell devotees like that sometimes too. A devotee was trying to decide what to do, and Prabhupada would say, pray to Krishna, he will tell you. So we do the best we can, of course. That's the important thing. Try to align ourselves with Krishna's desires. Okay, nothing else?
Haribol?
Oh.
Thank you for an amazing class.
Okay. The microphone is blended into your chatter, I think.
Thank you for the amazing class. So I have three questions. One, Putana became the wet nurse. But Krishna is 16 years old in Golok Vrindavan. So how is wet nurse does service in Golok Vrindavan? It's a theoretical question. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't hear your question.
She said that he's 16 in Golok Vrindavan. Why isn't he a nurse?
Oh, Krishna's everything in Golok Vrindavan. He's not just one age. You think, no, he's all. And Mother Yashoda gets him. She also, you know, exchanges with him at his different ages. That's why we say Krishna's inconceivable. Somehow these things all go on simultaneously. Just like when Narada went to see Krishna in Dwarka, in every place he was doing something different. 16,108 palaces. First of all, that Narada was able to visit them all is pretty amazing. But, you know, not only was he doing different things, his children were at different ages. Some of them were getting married. Some of them were little babies. And sometimes it was night. Sometimes it was day. Sometimes it was spring. Sometimes it was fall. But it was all supposedly the same time. So Krishna does all of these things simultaneously. Nobody loses out. Actually, you get Krishna. That's a principle, actually, of Krishna's exchange with the devotee. Krishna manifests himself in the form that the devotee wants to exchange with.
Thank you. And then Sandipani's son must have been different than that got drowned, because Madhumangala is with Krishna all the time in Vrindavan, even till the fight, and then they immediately go to the Gurukul.
I got some hearing aids on order, but I don't have them yet. I can't. I just can't.
Sandipani
son. To me, it sounds all. It sounds vibrationally. I can't really catch it. I can't catch what you're saying.
Sorry about that. Krishna, it cannot be Madhumangala.
Okay, start. Is what? Madhumangala?
The son that drowned. Sandipani's son that drowned.
I can't understand.
Because Madhumangala is with Krishna all the time in Vrindavan. And right after that, they go to the school, so it cannot be Madhumangala.
Well, that's not a problem. Krishna's devotees can be in more than one place at the same time.
It could be different, son.
That happened, right? In Krishna Leela, when Krishna went to Mithila, and he went to see Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, he had all these sages with him.
But it could be different, son, too.
So they both went to both places. And also in Dwarka with Krishna's associates, so he's got his servants there, so they're in all the different places at the same time. So that's not a problem for Krishna.
But it could be different person. That is also not a problem for Krishna. And Prahlad and Arjun, they only get Vaikuntha, so hard to understand why Putana got Goloka.
We can't understand, that's the point. We can't understand, just like Uddhava himself. So where did Uddhava end up? See, I don't think there's a direct statement, but it's generally understood that he wanted to take birth as a blade of grass or some plant in Vrindavan so the gopis would trample him. So generally the Vaishnavacharyas say that Krishna must have fulfilled that desire. But it's, as far as I could find, there's no direct statement that this happened. And although they commemorate that. I think in Vrindavan there is a temple and Uddhava is said to be there, but I don't think it actually, it doesn't say it in the Bhagavatam.
The Bhagavat Mahatmya, Bhagavat Mahatmya, I don't know if it's in the Padma Purana or Skanda Purana, talks about how the queens of Dwarka were feeling such great separation, and who was it? Someone suggested that they have to hear Bhagavatam from Uddhava, and Uddhava was living on the side of Govardhan in that form, blade of grass. They had to have a big Sankirtan festival, and then he came out from that.
There are two main Bhagavat Mahatmyas, which means glorification of the Bhagavatam. There's one in Skanda Purana and one in the Padma Purana, right? So in one of those tells this story. Apparently, I don't know the details. I've never read that myself. So Uddhava, because the amazing thing about Uddhava, of course, not only was he sent to the gopis to give a message to the gopis, at the end, he was there with Krishna. Of course, we have the Uddhava Gita, which is longer than the Bhagavad Gita. Just as Krishna was leaving this world, he called Uddhava there because he said, you can do this service. I want you to go to Bhadrik Ashram and deliver this message to the sages. And I went to so many places while I was here on earth, but I never went to see the sages at Bhadrik Ashram, so you can go as my representative. That was another example of Uddhava. So Uddhava is such an amazing devotee, had such intimate contact, just that he witnessed. Krishna sent him to see, you want to see what real devotees are, check out the gopis, right? So he had intimate knowledge. So we think, but his place is Dwarka, ultimately, that's his place. But although he can exist in a different form. These things are all, again, they're just, these amazing things can happen. We want to put things in little boxes, but he can also be there as a clump of grass in Goloka Vrindavan somehow or other. It's Krishna's mercy. Anything can happen. It's all part of the unlimited flavors of the spiritual world and rasa, the relationship with Krishna. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.